People who care enough about coming to be in the presence of the Lord will forever live in the presence of the Lord. But people who are so busy that they do not have the time to come to be in the presence of the Lord, as a consequence of that, they won't dwell in the presence of God. Why should they? They don't love the Lord anyway. If they don't love the Lord, I don't see why that they should want to be with the Lord throughout eternity, because they don't love the Lord. They don't love God's people. They don't want to be around God's people. They want to be around the people of the world. They like to do the things of the world. That's their lifestyle and their nature. And even if they happen to drift into church occasionally, they will always go right back to the world or television shows and the worldly way of life. All of their interest will be in the world. Their thoughts will be in the world. Their plans will be in the world. The motivation of all their doings will be in the world. Their desire will be as to the tangible things of life. So there wouldn't be but one reason that they would want to be in heaven, and that is to keep from going to hell. And there won't be anybody like that up there. You know, a lot of times I think, so many people, they don't want to go to hell. Well, does anybody? The devil doesn't even want to go to hell. But I think of it like this. I think, well, they don't want to go to hell, but they don't love the ways of God. They don't care for the ways of God, the things of God. And though they don't want to go to hell, they still don't want to love the Lord. They have a fear of going to hell. And if they happen to submit to God, it is not because they're looking for what is right, nor desiring the right things. It is just because they don't want to go to hell. But I'm telling you from my heart, according to what I understand of God, and I've been talking to Him for a good long while, if you are just coming to church because you don't want to go to hell, and if you're coming to church because you're just afraid to go to hell, if you're coming to church, if that's the reason that you come to the house of God, and that's the reason that you make an effort to serve God, I can tell you that you'll never make it into the kingdom of God. There won't be anybody there like that. You have got to hear the word of the Lord and love the ways of the Lord. The fear of going to hell may cause you to come to the house of God and stay long enough to hear the word of the Lord, but the fear of hell won't take you to heaven. You know, people have so many thoughts about going to heaven, so many ways that they've got of going to heaven. You go the Baptist way, the Methodist way, the Pentecostal way, or the Catholic way, or whatever. But that isn't the way it is at all. That isn't the way it is at all. See, and being afraid to go to hell is not what takes you to heaven. And being religious as to going through religious formalities or even doing good deeds. Some people do good deeds occasionally. That won't take you to heaven. You might give a biscuit, as we say, or a piece of bread to the poor, but that won't take you to heaven. And you might even give some money to the church, as in the offering, but that won't take you to heaven. You might even do some of those things more than other people, but that won't take you to heaven. You're saved strictly by the grace of God, and that's through faith in His name. And if you don't have faith in His name, then you won't have the grace of God. So that's the only way to heaven. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Spirit, as to my Father, draw him. There has to be an anointing that creates a desire for you to come. And no man can get to my Father, which is a spirit, or enter into glory, except by me. I'm the door to the sheepfold. If anyone tries to climb up another way, they are a thief and they are a robber. And though they come in, they will come in without the wedding garment, in that I am the wedding garment. And as Paul said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're baptized into His death, raised in His resurrection in likeness of the new man. And put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the things of this world as to the flesh. to the satisfying thereof, for the lust thereof. And take up your cross and follow me. It's a cross when you follow Christ. It's not eating and drinking and glamour and all the things that the ministry is trying to project of today, of prosperity and blessings and health and all this kind of thing. That's not what it is at all. It is a cross. It's a denial. Paul, I'm going to tell you how many things you'll suffer for my name's sake. Beat at the whipping post 5 times, beat with rods 3 times, stoned and left for dead, was in the deep and out to sea in peril of his life, and hungry sometimes. And he said, without the cares of life, but I've learned to be contented whatsoever state I find myself. And he commanded us to do the same as being the overseer to the Gentile church. Having the oversight, and through this he received the wonderful revelation of the Son of God. There is a difference between preaching the gospel and the revelation. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, isn't preaching the gospel the revelation? No. Preaching the gospel is the gospel. And the gospel we have here in a printed form of matter on the pages of what's called the Bible. The word Bible meaning collection of books, about 66 of them. And it is a printed page as to paper and ink. And it's only some means by which God has chosen to convey this to our intelligence, as to our natural hearing, in that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's by the grace of God through faith that you're saved, not of works, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. So then it is conveyed to us, as the Bible has said, write, as the writer said, put it in a book, send it to the churches. Even God himself said, write it, put it in a book, and send it to the churches. So then we have the word here, and then of course we have the minister to interpret it. And even though you and I feel that just anybody can interpret it, doesn't matter whether he's a minister or not, and for sure we feel like that the ministers can interpret it, but I'm telling you from my heart, thousands of ministers can't interpret, and yet they're in the ministry. Like yesterday, we took just two or three things that would be what we call the average things in the Bible, if you could use a term like that. And just in expounding it to a few of the brethren to show them how that you can know the Bible, you can know it, you can even have like a photostatic mind, and you can read it verbatim and quote it exactly to the T verbatim, and go to preach it and interpret it, and you'll be 100,000 miles off of the understanding of it, as we say in the world. And though some of them might have questioned that, I think just after those two or three things that were supposed to be simple things, that I'm sure that even they themselves, without an interpretation, felt like that was very simple for anybody to understand. But when we just took a few minutes to break it down, it was so different. I could tell by the expressions of some of them's faith that they were literally moved to think it was so different from what they had read and what they thought it to be. So it definitely takes the Spirit of God to interpret. The Bible said these things were written by men of God that were moved by the Spirit. And then if that is true, they are not of a private interpretation, Paul said. We cannot privately interpret, though we might have lots of knowledge. It still won't do any good. We might go to seminary, we might go to college. It won't do us a bit of good unless we have the Spirit of God. It's fine to study to show yourself approved. The Bible said, a workman of God that needeth not to be ashamed. But he also said, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you say that, most people take the concept to rightly divide means to go to seminary, or you think it out, or you figure it out. But that's not the terms. Even that alone, as to the misinterpretation as to the terms, proves that they don't understand the scripture, and that it is altogether different from what they think. So then it is not as to a private interpretation. It must be rightly divided, and there is no living human being that can rightly divide the word. It takes Christ it takes Christ to rightly divide the word. When he severed as to the rending of the temple, and he put the intellect in the place that it should be, and that was in the grave, and stamped it out. And then he put the spirit of quickening as to Christ, the great mind of understanding, in the place where it should be, and that was in the heart of man. And the Bible tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Though he thinks many things in his head, and his head is full of education. And I hear him so often, some of the youth will say, well, I've got to get my head straightened out. And I think, no, you got to get your heart straightened out. Somebody said, well, they want to brainwash me. Well, I don't see where that'll hurt if they can wash all them human senses out as to what you've stored up there. I don't see where that hurts. But what we really need, we need a heart washing to get the things out as to the lust of this world. The Bible said the spirit within you lusteth under envy. And it's always wanting something natural or looking at somebody else that seems to be more of somewhat in the world. And they're always envious. And this is ugly. This is evil. This is satanic. But when we get our hearts washed out and we get Christ in there, we're talking about the sanctifying of the cleansing, that the Holy Spirit may come in. Once that happens, then he will come in and take up his abode in the temple, and it will not be you thinking, but him. And your steps will be ordered aright as to the Lord, and God will keep you. Did you know that, just talking a minute or two here, did you know that when you don't have the Lord, or when you have come into the presence of God to reflect that wonderful light, once you leave it, or if you don't know the Lord, when you think wrong. You just automatically think wrong, because life is within the veil. And even a young person, a man or woman, just be driving along and they say, well, I feel like I'll go over here. I think I'll go over yonder. And or I think I'll do this. This is what I would enjoy. This is the right thing. And so they think it, and they go to do it. And then they get killed, or something bad happens, or they end up in prison, or something terrible takes place. Maybe they're struck with something and a disease that doesn't even show up for 10 years, and yet they're dying all the time. So that proves that unless you've got the mind of Christ, then you're going wrong. You're just going wrong, that's all. And you come to the Lord, and you pick up this mind as to some degree through tutoring. You kind of make a change and you get in this light and you're going to go a certain way, do a certain thing, you know. And then after a while, you lose your vision. You drift away. Then you're like Ahithophel, as when he was with David. His counsel was like that of an angel or of God. And whatever he told him as to the counsel, even for war, it was always right. When he turned against David, he lost all of his wisdom and ability. Though he did not know it, he thought he was just as brilliant as ever, because he gave credit to his own understanding. But when he turned against David and he planned these things against David, all of a sudden it went wrong. And everything that he planned went wrong, until he was so tore up, until he went out and hung himself. To show, as we say symbolically, Judas betraying the Lord Jesus, because David was symbolic of Jesus. And this is what I'm saying. You don't want to go back into the world. You don't want to mess around with the things of the world. You don't want to do the things of the world. You don't want to spend your time on the TV or gazing into a TV, watching non-virtuous things and things that are nothing but just plain carnality. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I see things in magazines and on the television and all these other things. There's just nothing wrong with that. I don't know. You know, your priorities aren't too good sometimes. And mine isn't either, unless I follow God. They're just altogether wrong. And our evaluation is altogether wrong. First of all, it's wrong to do those things because your priorities are wrong. You should give priority to the Word of God and to the things of God. And someone would say, well, I do. And then in my leisure, I watch TV. There is no leisure in God. How much of your mind do you have for TV as to those just carnal things? that they do in Hollywood or whatever it might be. Somebody said, well, the news. Well, whatever it might be. How much of your mind do you have for that? In that the Bible said that you are to bring every thought into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ, to meditate in His laws day and night. That's His body. Your body is dead. Your life is gone because of sin. But that's His body. And you're supposed to have His mind. And I find no place in His life where He had leisure for that. He was always about the Father's business. I find no time for that. And someone would say, well, I love to study, Brother Pike. I just love to read books to see what I can learn. Well, I don't find any place where Jesus did that. The Bible said to love Him with all of your mind, and He's the Word, and to meditate in the Word till every thought is brought in subjection to the Spirit of the Word. So I don't find where you have time to go through all of these things as to a guest of life. That proves that it's carnality, and to be carnally minded is death. So then you don't have any business doing that. What you should do is follow Christ. Wherever Christ takes you, that's where you should be. You should be led of Him all the time. And this is what we're supposed to do. Something I want to relate. So I'll just say this in the 5th chapter of the book of Revelation. You can read there in that if you'd like. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to it. It tells us that as the Lamb came to Him that sitteth on the throne, that there was a book in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne, and written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Now, I don't know that we'll get to dwell on that this morning. I was kind of feeling around, seeing if I could. I come in this morning with the thoughts that if I could, that I might venture out just a little bit in those seals. I've waited quite a long time to talk about them, and I sporadically have spoken of them, and that's been about all, because I can't hardly find the atmosphere. When I come in the morning, sometimes I can start talking to you, and I do find a moving of the Spirit to the extent I can tell that there's a little bit of hunger. Not a whole lot, and I kind of try to get in on that, and then when I get your spirit, you get interested, and we can go down the line a little ways with the spiritual things of God. Whereas Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, and I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But otherwise, he said, being a babe, just desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. The meat is for the strong, they that take time with God, who by reasoning of their senses are able to discern between the good and the evil. So I come up here with the thoughts in mind to trying to get into something. I haven't this morning felt any drawing or real hunger. I feel a contentment, come to church, and you be pleased to come to church. But like I said, coming to church is not enough. Hearing the word of God with a regularity, even if you come every service and hear the word with a regularity, that's not enough. That will not save you. Even if you learn what the preacher's saying as to some means of memory, it won't do. You've got to conceive of the seed of God, which is the seed of life within your heart. And you've got to conceive of the understanding of God, which is given by the Spirit, in that the Word becomes Spirit and becomes life. So if you don't, then that means you're just a reflector. That is, it's like those in the world as to union and no right motive, but just like an adulterous generation doing everything that they can to keep from bringing forth life as to the multiplying and replenishing of the earth, and only interested in the exhilaration and the excitement of human passions or human senses or human nerves, which is of the devil. For the purpose was, as we say in life, as to bring forth life and multiply and replenish the earth. Well, that's the way it is when you come to the house of God. See, you got to come with an interest. You got to come with a desire. Once you've heard this word, you've got to come with a desire to conceive of this word that you might bring forth Christ in your life. God is bringing forth a man child in you and I. And when you do this, then it brings forth Christ, and there is a travail. The Bible said when Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. And there is no bringing forth without the travail. So then, when we take this word into our heart and we begin to think on this word, then, as I say, we get out of shape with the world and we want to hide away in solitude. We want to stay there with God day and night till we bring forth this child in our life, that this heavenly treasure which we have as to the mind of God might be made manifest in our mortal genes. And this is where the change comes in. So then that means that we have to take this word into our heart and start a self-denial, to swear to our own hurt. It isn't that God doesn't give us the good things of life. He does. And he wants us to have the good things of life. For the Bible teaches that he hath given us all things that pertain to life. As to the natural life, all of this was given to us. It wasn't given to the world. It wasn't intended for Satan. God didn't intend for Satan to have it. But when Satan got into man through the fall, he took it. And then he began to reproduce his own image. And that's why Jesus told him, said, "You are of your father the devil." That is to say, when he gave the parables and he said, "And the sower went out to sow, and he sowed by the wayside." And then he tells how that some of it was taken by the fowls of the air, as referring to the spirits, and some fell into good ground and brought forth 30, 60, 100 fold. And then he said, "There was a man that sowed his field down, and while he slept, the enemy sowed tares." And we're not going into these parables just to kind of highlight them a little bit. We have gone into them at other time. But when he awoke, he found tares in his field. And then it was said, "Shall we cut them down?" And the Lord of the field said, "No, leave them alone. Don't try to pluck them up. You'll get the wheat if you pull up the tares." So you can't cut them down, as we say, unless you tear up the rest of the field, mess up the rest of the field. Just leave them alone. There'll come a time of harvest, and we will cut them down all together, and then we'll sever as to the just from the unjust. For the rain is on the just and on the unjust. So we know that in this world, with the grace of God coming down, we're all together in this world. We understand that we're all together here in this world. And we know that to them that Jesus spoke to without, it's parabolic, that they don't get the understanding. They don't get the seed of this word as to the life of it. And we also know that our life, which is called the candle of the Lord, is on the inside of us and is searching out the inward parts, because it is lit with a temporal life. But we also know that God will blot that life out. He will blot that life out if we don't strengthen that, as that on the inside of us, by the word of God. So then, back to the original theme of our thought here, this thing is a thing of faith. We come, we hear the word, and if you conceive of the word, then it will show forth, because your faith will come from this word. And when your faith comes from this word, it will compel your body to conform to this word with works of righteousness. With works of righteousness. If there is no works of righteousness, then there'll be no travail as to self-denial. And if there is no travail, it is evident that there was no conception. And if there's no conception, there'll definitely be no birth. And if there is no birth, there'll be no child. So then that means that we can't just come and feel the inspiration of God in that the rain is on the tare as well as the wheat, as to coming into the presence of God and feeling this like man and woman in their union, as to a stimulation of human senses. You can't do that. You can't just come and do that and walk away. and still get to heaven. You can shout if you want to. You can holler if you want to. You can scream. You can do all you want to do. You can listen to this word and listen to it very carefully. But unless you are there for the means and desire of receiving this word, that you might love it, that you might surrender to it, that you might conform to it, to love His way, you won't have any hope of glory. Christ within you, the hope of glory. If you don't bring forth the image of Christ in your life, then that means that that interlife is not there. Because if it was, it would be made manifest in your mortal genes. And that means that you're only reflecting things. You're only a reflector in this life. As to your human body, you're only a reflector. You're just simply a reflector. That's all. Everybody is a reflector. But when you conceive of the Spirit, you're no more a reflector as the woman is the man. It's no more just reflecting Him. You have taken of His very life from His very loins, and now you are producing the blood seed from His blood cells with life. And that life will come forth as an interwoven you and Him. And in that little child, there you are. Because as the dad has given forth a blood seed as life, then there has been a feeding from the placenta of the mother as through the navel cord for this little one until he comes forth from the libus unto life. So then we know for sure and for certain that just fearing God isn't enough. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God, but that isn't enough. You've got to take His word. He said in that day, they'll say, didn't we prophesy? Lord, didn't you minister in our streets, as referring to the preachers? And all these other things, He'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And I brought this out before to know Adam knew his wife, and thus there was children. And I never knew you. You never came to a place of divine conception as it was with Mary as to the illumination of the Spirit or the overshadowing of the Spirit. See, but when we do, then we are of God. If we are not of the virginity of Christ through the sanctifying of our heart, then that means there'll be no conception because the seed will not come into an unclean temple. And if there is a sanctifying, then the virgin can still lose the virtue, whether it be man or woman. But if there is a sanctifying and a cleansing, then that means that we are eligible for the Spirit of life because we've had a purification in our heart. And we're eligible for the Spirit of life and a divine conception that we might go into a travail of self-denial and bring forth the image of the Lord Jesus in our heart. Now, when we do this, that means that we belong to Him. That means that we are married unto Him. That means that we are His bride. And that means that, as the Bible said, who shall declare His posterity? Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off and had nobody to do it. It means that we are a declarer also of His generation, even as the minister of His posterity in the earth. And so then we find ourselves married unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We find ourselves married to Him. But there is deeper depths. There are great and mighty deep depths, even in what we're saying right here. So deep is it. So great is it. So mighty is it. And we can comprehend the depths of it. And we can comprehend the heights of it. And we can comprehend the widths of it. And we can comprehend the length of it. We can do this if we walk with the Lord and if we're sanctified. It's like somebody that was listening the other day among the brethren. A lot of times when the Spirit is speaking, the brethren get a little bit and somebody will get a little more and somebody won't get as much. And then there will always be those that are intellectual and college students are people that are brilliant through study. And they will sum that thing up, and I've watched them, and they'll sit there and they'll sum up what I'm saying. And in their intellect, they catalog that with all the other studying they've done. You know, and I look at them in pity. And I see this one over here that doesn't have that kind of degree, that doesn't have that kind of ability that doesn't study like that, just like a nothing and a nobody, comparatively speaking. And I see them get just a little bit of what I'm saying, and all of a sudden I see them conceive, and I think, now this is so wonderful. Hide it from the eyes of the wise and the prudent that tries to search it out with intelligence. And here this little babe in God, it has been revealed to them, given unto babes such as are willing to learn. That is babes, comparatively speaking, to the world. I repeat over and over so you'll understand my terms of babe. In the eyes of Einstein, you are a babe, or would have been while he lived. Scientists, you are nothing but babes. But anyway, there I look at that, and I think that the other one thinks he's got it, and he reflected it. And as soon as he's gone, he'll never be able to remember it. All he'll do, if he tries to testify of it, is he'll bring up enough of it to where it will sound good to the intellect, and then he'll get so balled up he won't know where he's going or what he's doing. Well, anyway, while we were sitting there, the Lord began to speak, and I thought, now, Lord, if at all possible, I'm just going to let you take control of my heart and give us a sequence of things. And line everything up in a continuity, that is, to the continuation, that we'll get this thing to where it's like from point A to point B, at least a little bit of this within the radius and confines of what we're saying. And we did. And the person that was real intellectual sat there, and there's more than one with college and with degrees and schooling, and I could tell that they wasn't nearly getting what the others was getting. But because there's too much human reason, they're already programmed. And it was interfering with the mind of Christ within their own understanding. Like Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. As to the resurrection of the dead. And Paul was great, he was mighty, he was learned. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, seeing that he is learned the way that he was learned, it's evident that then that is the way because he got the revelation. No, it is evident that you misinterpret the scriptures, because the thing that he was learned in was the scriptures. It was the Bible. It was the Old Testament. It was not in the scientists of that day nor in the scientists of our day. So he got it because he had spent his life in the study of the Old Testament or the scrolls. And when the Lord took him away for about 3.5 years, then God opened his understanding. And then all these things revelated, and he looked beyond the veil. And that's how he knew that there was a veil over the face of them of the Old Testament. So in this light, with this light, the veil fades away. As the veil over Moses' face, they could not, as the Jews, look steadfastly beyond that veil, or that is to the end of that which was abolished, or that is to say the light that was in Moses' countenance, because the veil was put over the face as between Moses and between the Jews, because they were afraid. You couldn't see God's face and live. But anyway, as we went down this, I watched one that was so sure and self-confident, and has been since I've known him, that they study all the time books and whatever, and even the Bible. And I watched them listen, carefully listen, as we talk. And as we talk, they listen. And I could tell by their countenance, and I could tell by the expression that they got it. You know, right in there listening. I mean, really listening. And then, after a little while, the Spirit kept speaking, and the water kept getting deeper, and things kept being said. And then after a while, I could see that they were getting all fuzzy, like in their mind, like, wait a minute, now what was it he said back here, and how did this go here, how does this fit together here, because the Spirit was moving over here and moving over yonder, moving over here and moving over here, and there was no ties in between some of it, because I was trying to get a secret. And then after a while, I caught the individual's thinking, and it completely got lost, and it was just like everything just went fuddled up. See, and I say that to you over and over and over, to let you know that it will not work the other way. That there's no way that you can do that. That you, in just preaching the word, A lot of times I listen at you, and in just preaching the word, though you're positive that you're right in the scripture, even the preachers, and I find out that they haven't even got an understanding of the word, let alone to get into the revelation of Jesus Christ. Folks, it isn't going to be the preachers. It isn't going to be the deacons. It isn't going to be the smart Bible scholars. It isn't going to be them that come to church regularly. It isn't going to be them that gives in the offering. It isn't going to be them that is somewhat in appearance or in their vocabulary expression as to the orientation, as to an orator. It won't be like that. See, you have got to conceive of this word. Being oriented in this word is one thing, but to really conceive of this word, to bring forth Christ, it's another thing. And like I was telling some of them, I said, you know, the brethren, you know, sometimes are people, they get the wrong concept of Brother Pike as well as they do other men of God that God sent. You know, and they get the wrong concept of a real Christian that's in the midst of them that's talking. They think, well, you know, this fellow wants to talk about this all the time. And wherever he comes, he starts a conversation and wants to talk about this when I'd like to talk about something else sometimes. That's wrong. It's not what it is at all. According to 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, whatever it is to that individual as to what he has, it isn't something that he's trying to do, and I know there's babes among us, but it is him. That's what he is. He's not trying to start a conversation. Like I was telling some of them, I said, I don't come to try to start a conversation. I said, neither do I try to think of the scripture that I can quote something or do this or that. Even here, I only try to find a scripture just to where I can tell you something or read something here just to get your mind toward that, because you've been oriented in the thought that if the preacher don't read a scripture or quote a verse or do something, then you didn't have service. He got off track. He never did start right. So you got your ABC 1-2-3 program of mine, and from point A to point B, and if it's 45 minutes of preaching, whatever, then you know we need to consider that people have to eat. Somebody would say, well, now Brother Pike, you know that people don't think like that. I not only know they think like that, I've had them from here, from the service, to come and tell me. They've come and said, don't you know these babies have got to eat sometimes? And to keeping them that long in service? So see, maybe you don't know something as you ought to know that you think you do know. The Bible said when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. And I, with all love and gentleness, informed them that what they need to do was get born again and have some conscience toward God and some hunger and thirst, and they wouldn't have their minds on their bellies. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said it in a nice way, you know. So the old serpent is on his belly. As a matter of fact, I happen to know for sure that when I pick up the spirit of my little children out there, as a rule, they're listening and they're right in there, and I pick up the spirit of some of the others, and they're just this way and everywhere. You know, and their minds on the cafe and whatever. The little children, the Bible said, a little child shall lead them, and the others die in the wilderness of their intellectual reasoning and intellectual wandering. Now this morning I'm just kind of talking a little bit along the milk line, because I had some meat this morning, but I felt like it come to me while I was at home. Well, what are you going to do about the meat, milk and my lambs? And I thought, okay, when I go up there, I won't mess with the meat unless you show it. And I'll talk to the lambs. And if I talk to the lambs a little bit to give them a little bit of milk or come down to their level to where they can understand it, then the others will just have to bear with me. And then if they get hungry and I see that the babes have gotten a little milk or whatever and you lead over into it, then I'll go into Revelation. Because see, when I come up here, I don't have to get into Revelation. A lot of times I say I'd like to get into Revelation. I don't have to get into Revelation. I live in Revelation. As I told them, I don't try to start a conversation. I just open my mouth and that's what I am. That's my life. I'm interwoven with that and that's interwoven with me. And when I talk, this thing just automatically comes out. It just automatically does that, because that's where my heart is. That's where my life is. That's where my thinking is. And I don't have to get into Revelation. When I come up here, I just open my mouth. I only read the scriptures, I said, or quote a scripture, or do some little something, because I know that's the way you're programmed. And I know it's to the 45 minutes or hour, that's the way you're programmed. And see, I know that with me, sometimes I might be in revelation just in my mind for hours, just hours. I might talk to the brethren when they secular cut themselves off from the church to get with me, like Jesus did to the apostles, and they might sit there for hours. And even though some of them sit there for hours, I watch them, and they hardly get anything. The reason for that is because their motives are not right. Their desire's not right. They've got some super idea about what they're going to be, who they're going to be, where they're going to take it, what it's going to do as to draw the admiration to the glamour of the flesh and the body. And they don't get anything. They just reflect it and go away, and the darkness comes and there's no light at all. When I say the darkness comes, their intellectual reason returns to them of what they know, what they think, what they've been studying. You know, and the light is to the understanding of Christ is crowded out altogether, or it's lost within a wilderness of their intellectual reasoning. So everybody's got a different idea, as we would say, about God or the way to God or the things of God, unless it is the Christians. Now, the Christians don't have different ways. I know they say, well, I'm Baptist and you're Methodist, and Brother Pike, you've got your opinion, and I love the Lord and you love the Lord, and we've got our ideas about it, but there is no such thing in heaven. We dwell in heaven. There is no such thing. All that's in the earth. The Bible said, when I bring Zion again, and that's what he's doing, he's bringing us again, even as the reference to Israel as a nation born in one day, they will see eye to eye. They will speak the same thing, so it's no trouble, a nation in one day. And when we come to that place, it'll be a nation in one day, to the extent we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, all of us, to show the bodily perspective of a nation in one day, as to the Jews, as to the adoption. See, but as to as to individual things right now, and God dealing with us on an individual basis, then it is Christ as to the spirit. It's not the body, because he will not deal with the body on an individual basis. It has to do with the Jews. And when that comes, it'll be a collective change, just like that. But as to your spirit dealing with you on an individual basis, let whosoever will come. It means that you have to come as to a spiritual conception. You have to have a concept of God's word, not in your intellect, but in your spirit. For God is a spirit. And when this word, which is spirit and life, as to a seed of life, goes into your spirit, it's like the seed into the heart or womb of Mother Earth. And through the wooing and the nourishing, as to the rain and as to the sunshine and all, of a sudden you've got a little sprig. And then if it's corn, then it comes up to the yielding. If it's wheat, then it puts forth as for the oven. Jesus spoke of that which is now, now is, and then tomorrow cast into the oven, when he gave his little parabolic speech there. And so then he was referring to the wheat. Now, it's here today, it's cast into the oven, maybe tomorrow. So this is what I'm saying. We have a bodily perspective, and we have the spiritual perspective, and the spiritual perspective is that which is deep within. If I come up here and minister, and I minister to the bodily perspective, I preach the word, as we say, and I tell the word, and it goes out to the listening ears, and I'll say, over in John, God speaks of God being a spirit, or Jesus speaks of God being a spirit. And over here in Matthew tells us we have to be baptized. And then I go through all of this, I preach that. But when I get through, all I've done is intellectually indoctrinate you with a letter from a printed page, which has come to you that it might affect your verbal senses. As that when it strikes your listening ear, that from me there's nothing but just the force of air that's come into my lungs, that's come out through the drive of my energy, that's come through the windpipe to express itself by the vibration of the mechanism of my throat, of the voice box. And with this, as that sound comes out by means of air, just like if you pressed a trigger on something and air went through a tight thing and went like that, or if it came forth in another way as to make a sound. Paul said every sound that would be with distinction. See, and when I express myself, this comes out. And as it comes out from me, it strikes the molecules that are around you, the spheres, or that which is your immediate environment, even way up. Our ionosphere, the hemisphere, the stratosphere, these kind of things. See, when this strikes your immediate environment, then there is a vibration, and the vibration of that, as this sound comes forth, it vibrates as to a means of distinction. And when it gets to your listening ear, it contacts your human senses, which also are set up as means of vibration. And it goes right into your brain and vibrance. And if you look to see, you see something as a vibrance. So when it comes into the listening ear as a vibrance, it goes down through your body like that and right on into your heart, because this is the tender spot. And when it goes down into your heart, whether it's good or bad, as to what you're listening to, you are in trouble. Evil communication corrupts good manners, because that's still a vibration. That vibration has to come from a form of life. There has to be a form of life as to an expression, or there wouldn't be any vibrations. And when you hear, there has to be something as to vibrance, as to nerves that will pick up or record, or you still don't hear. If those nerves are dead, though you still have your ears apparent as to ears, but there's no sound, because there's nothing alive on the inside that will record the vibrations to take those vibrations into you. Though you may have your eyes, if on the backside of your eyes, if the retina is gone in there, then you won't see anything. Though apparently you have your eyes, but you don't get anything, because there's no vibrations. Because there is human senses, as to the five human senses, that set up to record a life. And I tell you again that the only life a human being has is their five senses. And when one of those senses are gone, then that much of their life is gone. Whether it be the sense of sight, whether it be the sense of hearing, whether it be the sense of feel, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, whatever. If the sense of feel is gone in general, that means you're dead, because it covers all of your body. But proportionally speaking, if one part of that is gone, then that means that much of your life is gone. You can't imagine how much life would be missing if you couldn't hear the chirping of the birds, the sound of the wind whistling through the trees, if you couldn't hear the rippling sounds of the waters as it splashed up on the banks of the ocean, or run over the rocks of the river, or if you couldn't hear the melodious sounds of someone singing, or the instrumental sounds of the guitar or the piano or whatever. You couldn't imagine what a horrible nightmare that would be as to having heard this. People that are born that way, you know, it doesn't affect them so, because they've never known that. People who have never eaten steak, they don't miss steak, because they know nothing about steak. See, whatever they've been brought up on, then that's what it is. When we look, you can't imagine what it would be like to be blind. People who have never known this as to sight, it's different. They've learned their life to them is like a bat. A bat's life doesn't bother him to be blind. He doesn't know anything about it. See, he has a sensory that you're not acquainted with, that they've even patterned radar after, that he can fly at high speed. And just his perception, his radar-like sensory is so keen that he can even get near a post. And through the vibrance of those senses, he just dart right around it. See, and it doesn't bother you. It depends on the creation as to the way God is created. But with you having been exposed to the vibrance of recording these things through your eyes, then you lose your sight. You couldn't imagine what a horrible nightmare that would be, to never see the little ones anymore, to never see mom and dad anymore, or to never see the different ones round and about, or the little flowers blooming. Or you could never see all the beautiful things of life, like the stars and the moon. Couldn't even see the sunshine as to look and see it shining in the heaven. You could never see the beauty even of the lights or the different designs. You could never see the furniture and the curvatures or the beauty of even the rugs, just the colors. You could never see the rainbow. You could never see these things again. See, that much of you is dead. So I'm saying all this just to bring out a little thought this morning. And that is, if you are not born again, you don't have anything except your human sensor. Your human sensory. And your human senses. So you don't have anything other than that. And that's all you do is record the vibrations as to whatever is around you. And everything, of course, if you could break it down, you'd find out that it is constituted of vibrations. And being constituted of vibrations, then that means that it would affect you. Now you say, well, scientists don't teach that. I don't know what scientists teach about it, but I know that's what it is. And when it gives off a certain thing, even as to a little flower. It gives off, even as to a little flower, a certain vibration. And like even the colors, as to the colors, though we look at it, as to say, well, this is blue and this is red and this is white and this is yellow and whatever. But in all reality, there's nothing there at all. There's nothing there. If you could see it, there wouldn't be nothing at all there, because the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ shows that everything is an act of vibration as to our human senses, which makes us relative to God. And the only way that you can record even the word is to the natural expression, to get hearing by faith, is through the vibrance of this expressed thing of the way I express myself. You feel the air going in and out. I feel the air as it comes out. And the mind of God tells me, as he puts these things together, as to what life is and what death is, and whether or not I have to die or don't have to die, and how that death got started and where it come from and what caused it and what put you in the condition that you're in as to death. Now, someone said, well, not me. I'm talking about all of you. Every one of you, as to your natural, you're going to die. There ain't no way that you can get around it unless that thing takes place as to the change. See, but the Lord tells me where the change is and when the change is to take place and what it has to do with it, why it hasn't taken place so far, and whether or not you can hurry it or whether or not you can come into it. See, and it tells me these things very clearly, very thoroughly. See, that we might understand, that we might know. That we might know, that we might understand. Someone says, well, now what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that in the world there are what you call physicians and nurses and all kind of things. But beyond that, there are what you call specialists. There are scientists in the world, but there was men like Einstein. We think of Einstein as the all-time great, which apparently he was. But you'd be surprised to know that there's numbers of scientists that had the things Einstein had those things. It would be astounding to you to know that God had already given them the understanding, and all Einstein did was come up and pick up what each one knew here and there. And then what he got, put it together with it and come up with the place he did as to the admiration and honor of men. Somebody said, well, you don't really know that. Oh, yeah, I happen to know that. So then that means that it is astounding how many great and mighty men there are in the world that never get the honor that one other will get, because all of this other is a stream that's come into that. Take men that study. Study books. They'll study books, study books, study books. They'll study the Bible, study the Bible. But they'll go back to all kind of things, even as the Bible, to read these things that others have worked to get to come down to this through the many years, which is a great, wonderful opportunity. Lawyers do the same, that they become great, mighty men in the day that we're living in. That's great. That's wonderful. And if you have opportunity to do that, that is wonderful. See, as long as you don't get self-esteem, you don't get lifted up in pride, you don't take things to your own self as to your brilliance. See, but when it comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ, you will not find that. There is no writings like that. There is no such thing. Somebody said, well, I know, Brother Pike, that there is because I read it in a book. You've never read the revelation of Jesus Christ in a book. There never has been. This writing right here where it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, you read about the revelation. And it is termed the revelation. But that is a terminology that is given it. And that is the printed page. And all these things are written. That is human expression. All of that. But when you receive the revelation, it is a direct contact from your spirit into the spirit world, and the Holy Spirit administers to you. And it's not the book as to the printed page. It's not your memory as to your study of something that somebody read. It has to be even when the minister is up here, God Almighty speaking to you and not the minister, else you don't get a revelation. And if God Almighty speaks to you and it's not given unto you to know this wonderful light, that this light shines in darkness, then you cannot comprehend it. You cannot comprehend it. But ye that are children of light, it is preordained from the foundation of the world that though you be a babe, yet he will speak directly to you as you nurse the breast of Al Shaddai, the word meaning breasted one. And so then with this, you have a contact from your spirit with the Christ spirit, and the vibrations that you're getting is not the natural intellectual vibrations. It is God himself with the vibrations of the quickening of the spirit. It is a verbal inspiration as to the release into your spirit and to you. It is a verbal inspiration, but it is God that is the inspiration of the quickening, as Christ the quickening spirit, that brings the inspiration of that inspiring movement that quickens you as to your mortal body. For if he that raised up Christ from the dead dwells within you, he will also quicken your mortal body as to your mortal genes by his spirit. Now the rain being on the just and the unjust, you can record it by your five human senses. And you can feel just as vibrant as anybody. And you can feel that inspiration just like someone else that has the Holy Spirit. But that still doesn't mean that you have God. You know, as the old saying, water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. You can shout, you can feel the inspiration of God as to the rain coming down on you while the blood is on the seat of atonement. He doesn't see your sins. See, but the inspiration that we feel is from the deepness of God on the inside, and it brings forth as to whatever we are, whatever we are. See, these vibrations, there's a lot to be said about it. Witches use vibrations. Witches contact the spiritual world by vibrations, but not God. They are bewitched, as Paul said. They have stubbornness. Rebellion. They're in sin. That's demon motivation, the same as witchcraft, because witchcraft is nothing more than demon motivation. But with us, it's the Holy Spirit vibrance. It is the vibrance of the angels, like when the angel came and the illumination went all over the place where the shepherds were, and it was lit up there. And this light, which was an angel of light, this light penetrated with its vibrance. See, so we are different altogether. And that's why I say now, like when you see something as to the natural vibration, you say, well, that's the way it is. But that's not the way it is as to what you think. You say, this is blue and this is green and this is red or whatever. Even as the rainbow. See, and we say this is blue and this is red and this is green or yellow. See, and but still at the same time, that's what you're recording. That's what you record. Somebody said, well, I know that because I know what scientists said. Well, it'd be a good time to stand up and tell us what's said. It might show some light. Since I don't have all of that, and you do have all of that, as to the diplomacies of life, if you'd stand up and tell us, who knows, it might even enlighten me. It might be something you could tell me. So then otherwise, if not, then don't be telling me in your spirit. Just listen. The Bible said when you come into the house of God, be more ready to hear. Because faith cometh by hearing of the word. And it's not me speaking, but God. And of course, you could tell me a lot of things, but you're going to have problems telling him anything. It'd be better if you just listen. So then if it's God speaking, it'd be good to listen. That way you won't run an interference with the Spirit. One suffer, they all suffer. Okay, now if I speak into you as a natural, and you get up, which I am as to this part of it, and if you get up and move around, it's going to interfere. If at the same time, God is doing the speaking is to use my natural senses to convey this to you, then if you spiritually move around as to your mind of thought, it proves that you're not a son of God, that you have your mind in something else. Because if you was a son of God, every member would be right in sequence to see eye to eye, except my spiritual babies, and they would, of course, see eye to eye, but I'd have to work with them a little bit, and I try to, but many of you are not babies. You've been in this thing a long time, or in the world a long time. So then when you look at all these things, then you're saying, this is this, and this is this. But in all reality, all of that color, every bit of it is vibrations. It is vibrations. And this is why I tell you, it is not as in the stem, in the flower, in the birds, in the animals. That's why I tell you that you are foolish when you have a thought of segregation in your mind as to this man over here, he's black, and this man yellow, and this man white, and this man red. He's different from me, you know, and I'm preeminent because, you know, isn't that foolish? Isn't that foolish? Like a brown cow would say, if he could talk to a black cow, I'm better than you are. Or the black cow could say to the red cow, I'm better than you are. Or all of them could say to the white cow, I'm better than you are. Like a man told me one time, a black man, he said, well, the Lord thought more of me than he did you because he took time to color me. Well, anyway, I say one thing. I was pretty smart, you know, and I didn't have no problem with him to start with, but he had a problem with history. And as I said, he wanted to support my ministry. He was a dentist. He was a professional man. And because I didn't go with the natural side of life, even though I respect him, talk to him as a Christian, he got upset with me. But I just said that to say this. That's a whole lot better. I liked his approach better than to take this thing, well, you know, the segregated means, you know, and resent me because I could tell it wasn't a resentment. It was just he was upset because I didn't go his way. He had money and he wanted to share money with me, which I thought that had been nice. By that time, I could have really used it. But he had some strings attached to it. Anyway, I'm just saying this. It is foolish for you and I to do that because that man to begin with is not black, and that man over here is not red, and this man over here is not yellow, and you're not white as to whatever. That has nothing to do with it at all. See, you are the result of the vibrance as to that which emanated from God, the great Holy Spirit, which is the quickening. Paul said there is nothing when you take away everything, there is nothing but the quickening. And that God is the God of the quickening and of the dead. If you just give me a little time, we're going to stop. I just wanted to get a few thoughts here. It goes on tape, and people that get into it, you know, they're not here to ask me about it, and I have to try to get it as straight as I can. When we speak of God, everything emanated from God. He is the great light, and the great light is vibrance. Even the sun is to a burning fire. It is a vibrance, and that vibrance causes the quickening that's in the air, coming down through the spheres and the way that God has arranged the atomic particles as to create a friction, and this brings about an electrical force. And you being created, all you are is an electrical force. See, you are an electrical force. I've said this before. Go into your room after a certain day at a certain time, turn the light off, and rub over your arm, and you'll just see little sparks flying everywhere. And that's why you got all the hair on you. And that's why you got the open pores and many things that we would say about that. See, because that quickening has got to get into you. And as we say a lot of times, you are nothing more than the vibrations that comes from the cosmos as to cosmic energy. That is to say, as to the spheres and going up to the sun and the interwovenness of this. And when that comes down into the spheres, then when it breaks itself down, it comes down to you, then it comes as quickening through your hypothalamus. And hypothalamus, and when it comes down, it's to your pituitary gland. And these things, and when these are severally divided within you as to what we would say like the components of your body or to the different parts of your body. When it comes down into these and the vibration goes in there according to the need as to what the composition is, the way that God has arranged the atomic particles or the molecules of that, then that means that's what you are. That's the way you function. And some molecules, as you know, as to atoms, and that molecules is a composition of the atom. When you come down to the natural side of it, and these things fit together, there are some that repel, and there's some that draw. And that's why you got a male and a female. There's a composition there according to God's composition that when the quickening came forth and it quickened you and put you together. It puts you together. It puts you together in a composition to where as to a female one and a male another. Even a child in his diversity as to growing up. And they draw one another as to human union for multiplication, or they repel one another. See, and so then when I say these things, it means that you as an individual, you're nothing but just a composition of cosmic quickening, or that is from the sun. From the sun, you know, if you don't use professional terms of expression, as to the little ones, we just say the sun up there and the spheres. And through this, you are the composition of dust, which is a receptacle of these vibrants or of this quickening, in that God is a quickening spirit. And I like to take my time a little more trying to compact these things, then I don't get it thorough enough to where you can understand it. And it's real needful if you're going to get into the... See, we're not even talking yet about getting into the real spiritual revelation as to the deepness of God. I'm just hitting a few little things on the highlight and just trying to bring you a natural formulated mind to where you can come to the place. That's why Paul took about three and a half years, I'd say, in receiving this. I'm just going to have to slow down here because I've got so much to say and I've got such little patience that it will run out if I'm not careful as to what you're doing as to listening. And yet you're doing real good right now, but I know about my length of time, I can tell just about tell. And as long as there's a little bit of drawing, a little bit of stirring up the sparks, there'll be a little bit of fire. As when I was a boy, I used to stir it up a little bit when it'd burn up the wood and the ashes and it couldn't hardly have any light, and I'd stir it and the sparks would come to life, and then I have a little more light in the old dark room where I was. If we put the lamp out, we didn't have nothing. So then, you are nothing. There's some in here that are elect that need this, because I was going to make mention before I got through if I had time. I just have had night vision in the last two or three nights where the translation was to take place immediately. So, you know, if you would just ease on out and let me finish this, see, because you interfere. When I lose your mind, you interfere, even though right now you're doing pretty good, but I can feel a little weakness towards some of you. Now, you are nothing more than a recipient from Christ, the quickening spirit. Christ, you're made in the image of Christ. You are made in the image of the quickening spirit of Christ. And the reason that you are dead today. Now, if I just went down the line, I'd say, now, folks, Don't move. I'm fixing to explain death and life and show you that right now, all you got to do is just listen to what I'm saying, and that'll be it. That'll be life. You don't never have to worry dying. There wouldn't be a one of you except one that didn't understand that would leave here. And though I stopped a half a dozen times, they'd fasten into it. But when it comes to this, you know, there's no hunger, no thirst, no interest. Eating, drinking, buying, selling, going, laughing, talking, being on the other end is to do the expression, you know, rather than listen to God. You know, and that's where it is. And it's Satan saying, man, let's eat. And it's Satan saying, you know, he's pulling at your human senses in every way. You've been here long enough. You're restless anyway. See, and down the drain it goes and the mind of God's cut off. And the wall of iniquities to your intellectual comes up and God is cut off. Remember, he was really upset as to that veil of iniquity. When the sun became as dark as sackcloth of hair, that was the veil of iniquity that had shown up between Jesus and between God, the great light, to show that God was fixing to smite that with all of his fury to make an end of it for you and I, if we can believe, come to the understanding and have the faith of Christ Jesus. Whereas we'd like to have gotten into those things this morning, we're talking to my wife about some of them. Like I said, even this morning, I was talking to my wife about some of them. Wouldn't have to come up here and find it and look for it and get into it. And just because I'm talking along these lines, that doesn't mean that that isn't there. Well, anyway, I don't know whether I'm going to get to finish this or not. We say have a preview of it and prolong it over till tonight will be different because many of you haven't eaten probably and you will be eating, or many of you come here with a mind all cleared out because of sleep, and tonight you won't be cleared out. You'll be full in the tummy and that energy will be at a high level, and Satan, he'll be gnawing on you like a rat, and when you come here it'll be hard for you to get anything out of what is said. That's why a lot of times they have teachings in the morning and at the church, and then they have what they call evangelistic services at night, where the evangelists at night can come in there and beat the desk and pound and play the organ and shout and run and jump and, you know, just to keep your attention enough just to feed you a few little crumbs. So I don't know whether we're going to get to say this or not. I'll just take this little part here. We're just now getting to the part that would be of importance to you as to your power to differentiate. But anyway, we'll just say this a little bit as to complete what we started. You was going to get into this while I had a little bit of your mind, because I could tell the parts was going out and then try to get back to what I was saying as to the vibrance of color. But anyway, I'll say this one more time. These people are not as to a color. They're all one thing. Just one thing, that's all. And it is the vibrations that God has placed within them that makes them what they are. That is what causes it. And in that there is a severing and a dividing asunder, the vibrations is what causes the rainbow as to the spheres, as to the curvature of the earth, and in that you cannot behold with your eyes as to all around the earth. Then you see it as a half circle. And when you see it as a half circle, as to the spheres and the difference as to the spheres of what they have to do with, as to whether they're cold or hot, or as to what we call the ozone or layers or whatever. See, when the sun comes down with its brilliance, its power, three stages of that sun, and that's fire, that's heat, and that's light. And then comes your colors as to the vibration. I'll tell you something that will confirm that. In the natural, if you'll look and you'll watch certain metals as you burn them, burn one metal and you'll get like a greenish look. Burn another metal and you'll get like a yellowish look. Burn another one and the different colors will be in there according to the intensity of the heat, because it's determined, the intensity of the heat is determined in this particular way by putting a certain kind of fuel to the fire as to the heat, whether it's metallic or whatever it might be. The Bible teaches everything will be on fire. Everything will melt. Even the earth will melt. Even the elements will be on fire, because God has so made it that when this energetic thing comes down from the sun, that it goes into certain places and certain divisions into certain ways and comes on down to project certain images that from God the great light all things come as to emanating from him in the form of images, whether human images, animals, birds, whatever it might be. See, and it's like losing your hair. You get bald headed. And somebody says, well, I can tell you why. I can tell you why. And so they scientifically go through with it. But that's not it at all. That's not it at all. The thing that caused you to lose your hair was the vibration. You lost the vibrance of your scalp. And sometimes people, it stimulates it a little by rubbing it or the way they go, this changes it. But somebody, but I know it's not that. I know it's this. And I know the pores are clogged up. And I know, and I know, and I know, you know. You know, human reasoning and science falsely so-called in that they got a concept of it as to the natural thing. See, it is true that you have a concept as to your natural book study. That's true. And it is true that you can relate one to another. And you can have your means and measurements as to your governing forces. See, that's in the natural. But it is also true that all is vanity and vexation of the spirit, that the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and all of your intellect, that you're still in darkness and cannot see the light as to the understanding, which is the spirit, as to the penetrating to the revelation. See, and so naturally having it figured out, but if they've got it figured out, if science is so brilliant, as I say, and they really have got it figured out with all these things, and if they are right, why can't they stop people from dying? Why can't they? Even the most brilliant has no power to stop them. So I said that to say this, see the vibrance as to the color, and then all of these things bring about the color as to whatever that is, as to the composition of what God has done to bring this little flower about or this bird or whatever it might be. As to the, we can't say the instrumental parts, and yet it goes back to that as to the instrumental parts, as to the minute when it is composed or compact together, and as to whether it is the repelling or the drawing, the attraction. So then that means that we understand that there is a world of difference. A world of difference. And that means that those that are segregated by color as to sight, by human vibration, they are not segregated to God by sight. They are one, just one. And though you might be segregated in color, you've got to admit you're still a human being. And these people that get the crazy ideas, as many people had in their early life, not understanding, you know, that the Japanese, because his eyes are this way, and the Chinese, or rather the eyes this way, and the Japanese this way, and the man's colors this and colors this and whatever, that they're weird creatures from some other planet, you know, or some other way of life, because they didn't know nothing about planets back there. But now the educational side is scientific definition, which is error. And it has nothing to do with the understanding at all. So then we know that we are a composition of vibration, and that from the cosmic energy and some things that we really wanted to get into here to say of a number of things, but I can't keep your attention enough, because when you get to this point, you're still, you want to be reverent, you want to listen, but you're still thinking, now, well, hold on a few minutes, he's going to get through. Hold on a few minutes, he's going to get through. And you're just as much in your carnal mind as any other way. And that means that the Spirit of the Lord can't do it. You know, like the little girl used to sing the song that I like to hear sing so much. You can't hurry God. You just have to wait, my brother, and take him at his word, and someday or another, he will come and answer your prayer. So it looks like that I'm just going to be stumbling around. Of course, that's what the devil wants, is to have in my carnal mind 1 minute as to the natural, and then in the spiritual mind another minute. And in doing this, then on tape, it's just jumbled up and jumbled up, and people don't understand. They don't understand. It just puts it into a wilderness, and this message is not supposed to be put in a wilderness. It's supposed to be very clear. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I want to hear. I want you to go on. And that's true. Very few. But that's few. That's true. I'm even getting tangled up in my words. That's true. See, there's not enough drawing, enough strength, enough holding on to where I can express the things to you. See, and it's true, but very few. Few there be, as I told the brethren yesterday, few there be that find this way. The Bible said few there be that find it. Few. Someone said few, but I know that means many millions. No, when he said few, he meant few. Few. Just like when you say few, it means few. See, and the measurements as in the earth, the same as with the angels. That's two expressions or whatever. And we wanted to really go in and differentiate between this. It would have took a little more time. And right at the time, when we get to where the meat is, then of course you go out on me. So it means that if I give it, I have to give it to people outside. Someone said, well, it don't matter as long as somebody gets it. It does matter. Somebody says, well, it doesn't matter, Brother Pike. You get it over, they hear it. No, that's not my intentions. My intentions is for you to hear it, whether you get a little bit or a lot, you know. And I can say it in church that I get it on the tapes, that the tapes can go, or the films can go into all the world to them that don't even have a crumb. And I've tried to tell you this over and over, because of your lack of strength. The Bible said if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And because of your lack of strength, you've got blood on your hands, in that it is carelessness and foolishness because you did not apply yourself. See, and it is foolishness, and you live so much in the natural that you stand in the way of sinners. And the Bible said not to come to church to sit in the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the way of sinners, but let your delight be in the Lord day and night, meditate in his laws, every thought into subjection. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, it takes too much time, and we have to sit here too long. Why? Other men come and they sit for hours, and when I stop, many times they still don't want me to stop. So how is it so bad on you? What the difference is their interest is in God, and they don't notice the time because they're not time creatures, and it seems like only a few minutes to them, even me. And when the Spirit is talking, and you are in the realm of time, and your mind is as to 1, 2, 3 and ABC. That is to say, breakfast this morning and dinner at the right time, and then supper and a few snacks in between. Or to hear a few words in the morning, it gives me strength and consolation for today, is to pray or read my Bible or hear the preacher. Folks, you'll never get to heaven like that. You'll never do it. It's altogether different. And like I say, if you go by the natural trend of today as to the churches, you've got it made. As we say, you don't have to worry about nothing because we got everything from Methodists to Catholics and whatever. And you that hear this word that go to sleep, half asleep or asleep, or you're, you know, just in a slump when you come to church and wide awake just as soon as you get up to go to eat, you are not going to make it. It isn't like that. It isn't like the churches is telling you. It isn't like that at all. It doesn't have to do with that at all. You've got to come into the understanding of God, and few there be that find it. If I go by the fact that few there be that find it, and I say, well, look at all the religions of the world. I know they're good people. Just because they don't believe like me, that don't mean that they ain't going to make it. Then I'd have to say, folks, I misinterpret the Bible. I just don't understand it. It said few there be that make it. And we've got millions and millions and millions of people in churches. And if all of them fellas are preachers, then it's for sure that I missed my goal. And I would be out of all of them not a preacher. Because we don't see eye to eye at all. And if all them be saints, then I certainly don't understand how I'm to go call out the saints from among them that are of the world, and that they're protected by the grace of the blood on the seat of atonement as long as those saints are out there. And when they come out, then darkness is going to hit and God's grace is going to leave and God's going to kill them. Devastated. I don't know how to do that, because the Bible said when I bring Zion, they'll see eye to eye. Not Baptists, Methodists. Somebody said, well, you just got to understand it, no matter what church they're in. Well, now, if that be true, then it don't matter. You know, you can be in a slop hole, or you can be lapping your vomit, or you can be in a pool room, or it don't matter. You know, I can't say that these folks are good if they are murderers and they're over here in prison and they are robbers and they ravish the little ones. They kill, they steal, they destroy. I said, well, just because they're in prison over here and they've done all them things, you folks over here in church and you're going to church and you feel like you're good folks, what's wrong with them? All of you people. See, it's just a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord. Like I saw the vision of the translation after the Nevada meeting, and I could see the flashes, and I could see like bombs, whatever it was. I couldn't tell, but I know it was the flashes and the explosion like an electrical storm. And I could see way off, and I could see the earth clear around me as to how far I could see. And it looked like to me, if I had an expression, whether it be more or little, I can't say. But it appeared that there probably wasn't more than 7 people that went in the translation as I saw them lifting from the earth, knowing it was the translation. See, and even when I went up in the translation, and I did, I had to struggle. I had to struggle to get to make that translation, even when it was taking place. And that's the truth, so help me God. And then the other night, when I saw this about 3 or 4 nights ago, some of you sitting here that I saw in it, and I said in this vision as to whatever the meaning, and I think I understand it to the extent that it's connected with this thing concerning the property across the way. But anyway, I had the night vision, and with this I looked and I saw some of our people, and I was made to know the translation was fixing to take place. I thought maybe like a week, the best I can recall it. And then I thought, no, it isn't that. Within 2 days. The translation will take place within 2 days. And I thought, when I come out of it, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it would be Wednesday, the middle of the week. Or I thought in the vision, I believe it was also, that it would be the middle of the week, which no doubt had to do with what we talk about, the closing of the days of the Gentile, which we wanted to make mention of here as to the closing of the days of the Gentile. The average person, if you ask them when the days of the Gentiles is going to end, they don't know. They tell you, even Bible scholars, even preachers, they'll tell you, they'll say, well, that will end at the end of the church ages. Well, you know, that's what I say. As Brother Branham used to say, 6 of 1, 6 of 2 another. It would be good to go back and check and find out and understand the scriptures. But nevertheless, I just said that to say this, that I looked and there were some of my people before me. And when I saw these people before me, I was trying to tell them that the translation was right at hand. But I couldn't get their attention. Only in the sense they looked at me, they reverenced me, and they tried to pay attention to what I was saying, but in their spirit, they was wanting to go here. I remember a number of them had to go to Atlanta. They had some things they had to do in Atlanta. One is sitting here, was looking right straight at me, and he just had to get to Atlanta, had to get to Atlanta. And someone said, well, you know they have to make their living up there, Brother Pike, and whatever. You know better than that. They run around half the time up there eating and drinking, fellowshipping, laughing and talking. Something I can't even get them to do down here has to come over here, because some of them fellowship over here, they may find something to do over here. So they get off up there, and then they come and tell me, one or the other, tell me how that all day long didn't do nothing, all day long even got ashamed, all day long, off and on, they fellowship with somebody over here, somebody over here, and some of the brethren just laughing, talking, said, just as carnal, Brother Pike, said, they're as carnal as they can be. And he, as to one I remember recently saying, said he marveled of going in there around them after hearing here and acting like they act. And then when they get up there, everything is just as the old saying, in a footloose and fancy free. Well, anyway, I kept trying to tell them, but they were so busy in doing what they had to do in their minds. This is why I say what I do from time to time. And here I have minds constantly interfering. See, and it's overconfidence. It's self-esteem. It isn't God. It'll come to no good. Sounds not me. It will. Not one has ever failed that I've ever seen. It'll definitely come to no good, because you're in a carnal mind. And when you're in a carnal mind, it goes back to the lust of the flesh. It takes a while, but there's the place down the road. It'll get you. And I saw these minds and I thought, brethren, you need to listen. Ever how the thoughts were given to me. You need to listen to what I'm saying. And it was like this, you know, as if to say, yeah, sure. That's right. But in their mind, it was spinning like a top. I've got to get all this done. The translation, I just put in my own words, the translation in 2 days, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I got to do this, and got to do this, and I need to be, and I got to get all this in. I got to hurry if I'm going to make it in 2 days. You know, that's the way it is, folks. But nevertheless, you see how far off trail we got here as to what we was going to say and complete something. And you got to admit that though it come enough to where you can kind of fit enough together, say, well, I got some things together on that, and that's good. But it's not on tape like it needs to be as to thoroughly get this, because if the Spirit happens to leave this now, the opportunity is gone. He won't run the trail back. See, he won't do that. Because the one thing he rebuked them over in the wilderness, don't hold the manna over. Don't try to hold it over. It'll get wormy. And though this is manna from heaven, that bread that comes down from heaven, it is the manna from heaven. But if you hold it over, it's going to become wormy bread. Not that God can be wormy, though he come in the image of the worm as Jacob, to show us the right way of life. But you're going to hold it over, and then it's going to become intellectual. And this is why I warn you about all these things of intellect, study, all this kind of thing. It becomes intellectual, and it's no more the Holy Spirit as to the inspiration, but it is your intellectual mind of your wormy ambitions as to what you want to use it for and trying to incorporate it within your lifestyle, and then it's just lost within the wilderness. Well, anyway, let's stand together. We've said these things, and now we'll give some of them the desires of their heart. The Bible said God will give you the desires of your heart. That is, if you'll delight yourself in him as to the spiritual side of it. But then you can have the desires of your heart, like the Lord said, go on, Balaam. If with all the tutoring, all the preaching, all the loving, all the kindness, all the understanding, all the things I'm trying to do to help you, if you're still going to have self-esteem, still going to look after the world, go after the world, and still have the desires of your ambition in the world as to your worldly prosperity to make provisions for the lust of the flesh and for the things of the world, then there's nothing that I can do. And when I say nothing I can do, there's nothing God can do, because it is your power of decision. That's what it was all about from the start. The thing that allows you to die and go to hell was he wanted you to be a sovereignty, to make your own choice. Otherwise, he'd have made you a robot. Somebody said, well, I don't want God to do that. I want him to see that I go to heaven. I know. You know, we want God to see that we go to heaven if we do exactly what we want to. And that won't work like that. That won't work like that. That's like I said about the powers the other night, whether it be one man or another as to his race. We're wanting God's power, which comes through faith of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And all these other powers are going to come together. Right now, it's a segregated thing because there has to be a type. And the Lord makes them as to the four winds, representative, the yellow, the black, the red, the white, wrestling over the waters, which means they're not wrestling as to an equality. They're not wrestling, as I said, as to bring forth a government. They don't want a government except a preeminence. These powers was wrestling to get control of the waters and a preeminence, because it's satanic. And whichever one gets controlled, whether it's for a day, a month, or a year, whatever it might be, it's going to be the devil, the act of the devil. And I know this grinds at you, this don't sit well anytime I get on this subject, but isn't it wonderful that I can still say it and you have to listen or leave? Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm going to continue to say it till the world knows about it and the devil's run off, because it's the devil that comes up at me. So in this kind of thing, they want to get preeminence, and you'll find out when the revelational era is finished as to the church ages, they'll combine forces, and every last one of them that had so much problem with each other will come together. It's in the makings now. Look at the white man and the black man coming together. Look at the yeller man coming over here, even when Jimmy Carter was in office. Though he was noted to be a notorious killer, but look how it came. They came together. Look how Mr. Bush and the other yellow man, not of China, but Japan, came together when Mr. Bush went over there, when it come to the money thing. All of them will come together. But tell me, where can you show me one place where any of them ever comes together with the church. Show me. Speak up right now. Tell me of any incident where you've read it, where you've heard it, where you've seen it on television. Not one place have they ever come together, and not one place will they ever come together except with each other and never to the church. They're all going to boycott against us and try to bring a detriment as to kill us out. And right at that time, God's going to take us out of here, because the weapon of our warfare is not carnal. And he's going to bring up the Jews, and he calls them his battle axe. And he's going to say, now, if you want to fight, here, I'll gather you all together, because you've done come together, and I'll gather you all together. It says, why have they gathered together? Is it not against my Christ? And I'll bring you all together in the valley of blood, in the battle of Armageddon, the battlefield of the world. And I'll come back in a vesture dipped in blood in this body, or send Christ Jesus back, as we would say. And I'll meet you there, and all of you that's gathered against the Lord, the Christ of God, then I'll let you settle it. And that's what's going to happen. And he's going to defeat every last one of them. And the battle axes is going to come out. And he's going to bring somebody that can fight with the sword. And we're going to see how brave they are and how great they are. And we're going to see how outstanding they are. And we're going to find out that who he favors and who he doesn't favor. And when the battle is over, we're going to find out who is the ones that remain. Let's give the Lord an honor. So, ye that are sons and daughters of God, stay out of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that's in the world, even those people, all is corrupt. And it'll pass away. All human beings that's in the world, all human beings, it doesn't matter what race, what tribe, what level, rich, poor, educated, how they look as to their appearance, whatever, all human beings, all that's in the world is corrupt. For all flesh is corrupted its way before God. And God has smitten it all through Jesus Christ, has to take away the sins of the body of them that are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Otherwise, to your birth, all that's in the world is corrupt, no matter what church they belong to. And everything in the world, all of them, the people, as well as all of the rest of the world, will pass away. All of the world will pass away. All human beings will pass away. That's why all men, as a rule, die, unless it's the divine act of God. So then it means all that's going to die, all that's in the world. And you sailed, as I said the other day, you would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that all of the human beings that's in the world, all of them that's in the world, that they're going to die? Absolutely. Won't be a one of them left. All of them will die. Then what about the Christians? The Christians don't dwell in the earth. We dwell in heaven. And God has severed as to Goshen and Egypt. And we are separated from that. We are not in the flesh. We are in the spirit. Then that means that even as Peter said, the heavens being on fire and this tabernacle being dissolved. Somebody said, would say, but Brother Pike, now wait a minute. You mean to tell me that we're going to pass away, that the natural man, he's going to pass away, either with the fire as to the consummation of this natural quickening, as to the electronic flow of life, of the friction, or either by the powers of God, the consuming fire from within as to the day star, and that the sun is the day star dawning from within to eradicate the impurities of your life and that bastard child image that you are from the fall through the first birth that you so pamper and care for when he told you as to self-denial, rend that veil. See, to have self-esteem is to have the devil in you. Get that devil out of you, because he savors the things that be of the flesh. That's Satan. And whether you're religious like Peter was, it's still the devil. Or whether you're in the world, it's Satan. So then, the consummation of God, who is a consuming fire from within, will destroy you as to the natural, as to the perverted side. and change you into the glorious image of His Son, as to destroy that natural image of yours that Jesus destroyed at Calvary, as to the blood to bring you over to the time of that consummation, of that consuming fire that will destroy the perverted image at His coming, and destroy the devil of him that sitteth in the human body, which was for the temple of God. Destroy him with the brightness of His coming, which is the revelation. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. See now, I say this so often. See, it still took the time that it would have took to finish the revelation. It just went into a preaching mode or an exhorting mode. And it left the teaching of that God wanted to bring us to the revelation. So you stay just as long, usually, always you do. And the Lord will let it be that you stay just as long before you get out, and yet you miss those things. But nevertheless, it's good for you. All of it's good for you. And even for the babes in Christ, it's good for them. See, they get it. And if they get it, that's good. If you get it as exhortation, it's good, because you need it. With all of the preaching, all that I'm seeing, all that I'm doing, there's still somebody not very far from me that still seth esteem, that has been that way ever since I've known him, even from a boy. Still seth esteem, still a fault of resentment toward me, which is a racial problem. But nevertheless, it'll pay off, but it'll pay off in sorrow. I've never seen it fail. Let's just sing a chorus together, and it'll pay off in real sorrow. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul. Folks, listen at me, because that one person that causes that problem, it's self-esteem. They study too much, and they try to put things together, and their spirit comes in, that they are confident that I may know, but that they know great things that I don't know, that they know. But I'm telling you the truth of it, as to what discernment shows, is what I understand. They are in the wilderness, and they are mixed up in a mess, and they don't know. They are a thorn in my flesh and a hindrance to souls. And they sit in the seat of the scornful toward me, and stand in the way of sinners, and must pay a terrible price. Because out of all the people that are here, as far as I can tell, as to what I pick up, they hardly know anything as compared to the others. I pick up from some of your spirits that you're very wise men and women, that you're great in the understanding of God. Though I say you don't understand, yet on your level, you do understand, as I explained it the other day, as to the different levels, whether it's third grade, fifth grade, or whatever. But you don't understand as to a diplomacy. You don't understand as to the ultimatum of it. Take it from me before the living God. We should spend the time with God and in service that we should understand thoroughly. And when I say you don't, there's always those with the same feeling. You just don't know what I know. Well, you know, you can say or think what you want to. But I told you the vision I had of the translation and where many of your spirits are. And someone would say, well, that's for sure, Brother Pike, that my spirit is not in that, that I do know. And the mere fact that you take that you do understand and do know, when I tell you you don't know, it's positive that you don't know. That's the proof that you're still natural and intellectual. But if you'll take that thing, God, I can do nothing of myself. I don't know nothing of myself. You know, and if anything comes, then it'll have to be you, because my brother is better than I. I esteem him to be so. And I see great things in my brother's life. And I'd like to be like my brother. I believe he's a Christian. I'm talking about people of God. Not to know them after the flesh as to their education, their ability, how much they study, what they look like, where they came from, who they are, what position they hold in life. They don't have nothing to do with it. All of that will pass away. But I feel from my brother the love of God. And I feel from my brother understanding, not intelligence, as to something that they want to talk about. But my brother, I feel something from him. I feel like there's something on the inside of him that's drawing me that is godly and holy and pure and virtuous. And I want to relate to that God. And I don't want to relate to the natural as to the body, to the passions, to those things of intelligence that only gives force and strength as to a thrust toward natural things and natural preeminence and natural corruption and natural sovereignty. See, I don't want to do that. I don't do that. You tell yourself in your heart and say, Lord, I don't want to be a bully and think I'm strong and blessed Pat, as we say, I can handle him. I can handle him, or I'm the kind of person I can make that woman. Don't be a dog. Don't be a pig. Get out of the slop. Get away from lapping the vomit. The Bible said all of my tables are full of vomit, which means it has to be religious people. People out here in the world are not on the table of God. They're not there at the table of God. They're not trying to eat from the table of God and eat from that table. They're out there. They're cold. He said, I would that you were cold. But it's people that are lukewarm, people that are religious, that won't go that way and they won't go this way. They stand at the door. And these people, all that they are to God is vomit. They're just vomit because he said, you're lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Say, I would that you were hot. Get in with God. Get in the mind of God. Leave off with the flesh. Forget those dirty things as the filth of the flesh, as the Bible refers to it. Or get away from God. Get out in the world. Enjoy sin for a season, as the writer said that Moses could have done. With that, he didn't want his part. With this, he did. And he chose to suffer. Think about that now. Suffer the afflictions with the righteous rather than enjoy sin for a season. All right, let's sing a chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul. Remember now, you can't eat at the table of God and then go back to the table of the devil, like turning on the television and feeding your spirit over those dirty, filthy, make-believe things. And the carnal things, though you see nothing wrong with it, it still feeds the natural side of you. And when it does, you're still abiding in death. That's still death. For to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded means just to be naturally minded concerning houses, cars, clothing, eating, drinking, looking, hearing, talking, laughing, fellowshipping. Every thought is supposed to be in the fellowship of God and be in the thought of God. And your affection is to desire that is carnal, unless it is setting your affection on things in heaven, not things below. So don't be shocked when you don't make the translation. Because on this side of Jordan, as they would say, as to those tribes that took the inheritance, they went over the Jordan to fight with the others for them to possess their land. So many people, they come into the light of God and reflect and get over their intellectual reasoning while this little thing is going on as to a moment or two of preaching and God expressing himself, and they hear it. But then they go back over the Jordan when they leave, because all of their inheritance as to their desire is on the other side of Jordan. It's not on this side as to Canaan of Christ, but as to death, Jordan. It's on the other side. To be carnally minded is death. And they're cut off by death. And like the souls under the altar, they can't get past that. And they don't meditate in his laws day and night. They don't have a desire to think on him day and night. So when the saints go to make their change, and you're shocked when the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven or earth, whatever we'd say, after the great day of his wrath, just remember, your desire is on this side, as we say, the world, this side of Jordan. And all of your efforts and all of your labors and all of your drive and all of your investment, all of your time, see, as to your own self, as to your own plan, Somebody says, but Brother Pike, you remember I'm young. I got a life to live. I know. Jesus was young, 12 years old. He amazed the wise men. It was about his father's business and said, for you to follow in my steps, I am your example. And not only that, but he said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth before you start reaping. Because if you don't remember me in the days of your youth, you got a briar patch, as we say, a patch of thorns to reap. Sickness, heartaches, problems, all kind of things, even trouble with the children. So, when it comes to keeping your mind in heaven, your conversation in heaven, your affection in heaven, set your affection on things in heaven. Where is heaven? The Spirit. Spirit. Somebody said, well, my affection's in heaven, streets of gold, gates of pearl. Brother Pike, I'm planning to go there one of these days. But in the meantime, I got all these other things I got to do. And Jesus died to take away my sins. You're all mixed up. It's not a matter of Jesus dying to take away your sins. He took away the sins of the world. He took away the sins of the murderer. He took away the sins of all the people. And they're all gone as long as there's dispensational grace. Gone to where you can't even see them. It's a matter of you having his Spirit, being born of the Spirit. If you have his Spirit in you, then you're his. And if you don't, you're none of his. And if you do have it in you, as to the word Spirit, you will do the things he tells you to do. Seeing your faith by your works and the child known by his doing. You will not run back to those things as to your natural mind and natural hunger as to your carnality. Every thought on him. You wouldn't have time to sitting here and resent me or meet your brother and resent him. Or gossip and backbite about your brother or about your sister or about the preacher or about the church. You wouldn't listen to them that are out there as they talk about the things of the world and then talk against us and like a chameleon change over to blending with them because of racialism. You wouldn't do that. Or because you are away from the light or away from the preacher. You do that only because you are in the darkness. And when you come to church, that doesn't mean that you have the light within you. You're only in the light to the extent that you reflect the light. And when you go back to your real hunger after the light has cleansed you as to the washing of the water of this wonderful word as to the rain upon, then you'll be in the same old shape in a little while. See, there are things on the inside like a dove. It gives off an oil from within. It cleanses itself. There are other things that are mighty pretty, even the rose. And it looks mighty pretty. When the water washes it all, it's pretty. It's got a sweet smelling fragrance. But the thing is, as soon as the dust comes along and the contamination, its little petals are laden again. So there's a lot we could say there as we went into Revelation on that. But I'm just telling you, folks, you need to understand that just plain carnality, to be carnal is death. That's the natural things. And Paul said it was things that you could have. If I've sown unto you spiritual, shall I not reap of you carnal? If others are partakers, am not I the more? So it's evident it was not something, when you say carnal, that you can't have. You can have the carnal things of the world, but they have to be run through the filter because they're under a curse. You can't go after them and seek them. Because if you do, that's where your heart is. The Gentiles seek after the things that are of the world. Salvation is of the Jew. Though they're blinded in part, they still seek salvation. They're still looking. Blinded in part till the Gentiles come in. Enemies for your sake, but beloved for God's sake. As it is written, out of Zion will go forth the deliverer, and he will turn ungodliness away from Jacob. The whole house of Israel shall be saved. So then, I don't desire carnal things, though I sow unto you spiritual things. God has added unto me all things like he promised he would, and he will with you. So I don't need anybody's silver or gold. Abraham said, I don't take personal offerings lest you say that you made Abraham rich, because some of you that give, you get the idea that you're carrying this thing like some of them in the past. And then the Lord just pulls the feathers out and lets you down on the briar, and you find out you can't even carry your own self. But it was the faith of God and the blessings of the minister that carried you. So we're going to sing another chorus together, and we're going to let you go. you're able to do something for God with your strength, with your finance, with your prayers, whatever, be grateful. Do it. But always remember it's Him that worketh within you to His own will. Of yourself you can do nothing, and give the glory to Him. Don't ever think that you're better than your brother. Well, I started to say we'll just lift up our hands and close the service. But you know what I told you one time about somebody coming to me and said, why did you do that? And I said, well, what is that? He said, close the service without giving altar call. I said, well, I just felt like nobody wanted to come this morning. And I was a real young minister. This person said, well, I did. And they were all tore up. And I said, I try not to do that unless I really felt led to do it. And all of a sudden I thought, well, maybe I'll just go ahead and let them go. I know that there's a lot of them like to go. And I started to say, we'll just, and something stopped me like that. All of a sudden it flashed back to me that yesterday somebody again came to me and said, Brother Pike, when I was here before, and they're here visiting now, said, why did you close the altar for the service? That night, and they brought it to my remembrance, tried to, and didn't give altar call. And they talked like they wanted to come to the altar. So we'll do it the way we usually do it. So someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you know, just your people come to the altar. Well, I'm sure that's what they think, but that's not what it is at all. I invite my people to the altar, all of them sometimes. I just leave it open and let them come or not come. But I usually invite them because I have found out, and I know the certainty of my own life and my youth, that when I came to the Lord, I was real fortunate coming to the Lord in my youth, and have had time to serve the Lord instead of just making a little effort at it. Where I'm fortunate, it was His grace. It was none of my merits, because I was nothing. But anyway, I invite my people because a lot of times out there among my people, there is one that wants to come and they don't have the strength to come. And they're afraid everybody else will be looking at them. So I invite them all to come down when I perceive those nights especially. And then when you come, well, they just kind of can get in and flow with the crowd. And this way they come on down to the altar. And I appreciate you that has done this because I've caught your mind's reasoning a lot of times. And they think, well, I know some of them here that don't go down to the altar. They've sat here many times and don't go to the altar. And as a matter of fact, I happen to know that God worked it around to where they don't even get to go to church now. As a rule, it's real rare for them to come to church. And I've wondered many times why they wouldn't come down to the altar like the rest of them. But they didn't do it. And as a consequence of what I'm saying, I want you to know that they really needed it more than the majority of the people that came down. But anyway, I ask you to come down, and I appreciate you not reasoning in your mind, because sometimes I pick it up. You reason, well, I went down there the other night, and here we go again, see. And you reason in your mind, and well, what's the need of me going to the altar? While the others, they just come on down anyway. And as a result of them coming down, they are winning souls, and they are leading souls, and they are bringing in the sheaves, not knowing just exactly what they're doing, but they know that God is speaking to them, and they feel something that constrains them to want to be obedient and to do that. And many times you, my beloved brothers and sisters, you brought people to the altar. I watched them as they come, and you knew nothing about it. And sometimes two or three or more. So it is just my people coming to the altar. It's just the wisdom of God that He gives me to know how to do things. The Bible said, they that win souls are wise, or he that winneth souls. And indeed, it's going to be that you'll be wise if you win any souls. You might get somebody's attention as they talk religiously, but to convert them, you save a soul from hell and become their savior. The Bible said, I'll bring saviors in the plural up upon the mountain. That is to say, it'll be the membership of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, you convert that man, you save him. So, as I was telling my Danny, I believe it was the other day, or whoever it was, I was taking step by step and breaking it down of the way to win a soul, how to get to them, what you must say. And these things I just love to elaborate on. I'd love to do like they do in these seminars, have plenty of time to go through it and just take step by step and break it down. And it's phenomenal how that you can do it. And it's a sure thing. And it's not a hit and a miss. It's not a perhaps so. It can be done. It can be done. It can be done. I've told you in the past, I've seen the time when I went for revival. Take the pastor. Just get out and knock on some doors. Knock on the door. Somebody come to the door, and before they could hardly say anything, we'd said the things that we was invited into the living room, and before they could hardly get sat down good on the sofa, we were saying things, talking all the time, and they was answering, and before they could hardly get sat down good, we had them on their knees and praying. Let's give the Lord a hand. There's a way to win souls. Somebody would say, well, you can't do the people I know like that. See, that's the first error in winning souls. If you knew the Bible, you'd know the Bible says that God has fashioned all men's hearts alike. So you can do it. Let's sing another little chorus or two. I was going to dismiss, but maybe the Lord's suffering you to be held up because there's somebody in the midst of you that needs salvation or needs a refurbishing. Maybe they've been through a depressing moment. Or maybe the Lord's suffering you to be held up so that you won't do me like you did when he's trying to speak to you about the things that we need to be programmed with. You might say, well, I've already got it. I understand it. I know it. I know. I know. You're the one that'll never get it. You're the one that as a rule will never get it. Having been in the services and then have a mind like that, it's for sure that you are one of them that the Bible said the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness comprehends it not. But even if you want to think like that, even if it was possible for you to have anything, you have to remember that maybe you do have it if you want to give the benefit of the doubt. But there's others that don't have it and they need it. And you're supposed to be a parent is to give it to them or to be patient, to work and strengthen me as in God as he speaks so that the others can have it. I say this again, closing here as we sing another chorus or two. I said this a lot of times. Hezekiah gave God a little time. A man that give God a little time and God added 15 years to his life. Others that didn't give God any time, they lost their life. And there's people in the grave that died at an early age when they'd live many more years. I think of Brother Thomas, 90 years, had pneumonia, was it, in both lungs? 90 years old, said he got out and preached like a blaze, like a house on fire. See, he had time for God. God has time for him. But when you don't want to take time for God, it means that you are blind because it's for sure that you want to take time for life, to go to eat, to drink, to buy, to sell, to talk, to put your own self on exhibit for human admiration from the stem of self-esteem. See, but you don't understand because life is with God. And all you've got is a breath of life, and you're going to be running out pretty soon. Like when I was in service, and I remember marching when we give out our water. Little canteen, but we had to march all through the night and trying to share our water with others. Then I didn't have enough water, and I was just about to perish when I got to where I was going. Because we got lost in the trip. See, you got the breath of life. But the breath of life is not enough. That's why I wanted to go into the teachings of the cosmic energy today, is to lay a foundation so that I could bring you to the real thing of what you could have and where you're at and what you're doing. Someone would say, well, I know, Brother Pike. Well, I'm glad if you do. I'm glad for everyone that does. But I know for sure that if some of you do, we'll put it like that for the sake of your feelings. If some of you do, you certainly have me blinded because I can't tell it. I can't tell it. The Bible says the child is known by his doings, and they ain't but two things. Either I couldn't see spiritually, or either you don't have it. And when I look spiritually, and I know for sure you don't have it. It's self-esteem, it's just a human ego. And the ones that I do see that has it to any degree, I see them moving on in a measure way above the others and growing on toward the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And as it is said of Paul, it's not that we say that we have obtained unto it, but this we do, forgetting those things that are behind. We press forward to the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, which prize is to be therefore perfect. And he that be perfect shall be as his master, and shall overcome and sit down in the throne, and I shall feed him with the hidden manna, which is the revelation, and he shall rule with the rod of iron from the throne of God. So then, let's just remember that all belongs to God, and the glory belongs to God, and anything outside of any, if it's just one thought, anything outside of the mind of God, it is you. And if it is you, then it is Satan. It is satanic. So let's sing another little chorus together, and then we'll try to find a closing place. Can you lift your hands up with me? I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory on people for his blood, it's washed away every stain. Praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Run, I'll give him. Wash the weak. One more time, lift your hands and close your eyes. So I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give him glory of the people for his blood that's washed away. While we sing it one more time, I will praise. I'm going to ask Brother David Clyde to come up and dismiss us, if he will. Praise the Lamb for sinners. And